This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. As always, thanks for being here. We cover a lot of things involving Douglas County and getting the opportunity to go live to Washington, D.C. this afternoon with 4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle. Congresswoman, thanks for being on this afternoon.
No, well, thanks for having me.
So, obviously, the big topic is the federal government shutdown. Give us your perspective on what led to that and what's going on now.
So, I'm here in Washington, D.C. There are constituents who made plans to come to D.C. a long time ago. We met with the Farm Bureau. I've given tours to some people that have come out, of the Capitol because they had signed up for that. We're meeting with interest groups, and I'm also talking to federal workers in my district and people who have just gotten announcements about premiums that have increased anywhere from 70% to over 1,000%. And I am talking to some Republicans sort of on background, but fundamentally, I'm here to work and my Republican colleagues are not.
And talk about the impacts you're seeing from the shutdown.
Well, we have people who are not being paid. They haven't received their paycheck. I am grateful that we've been able to pay the military and the Coast Guard, but we have our air traffic controllers, our TSA agents, the people working in the VA, the people working at the Forest Service or the BLM. These people are having to show up at work and are not receiving a paycheck. The last time we had a shutdown, we had air traffic controllers in Eugene who were working a 10-hour Uber shift and then going in to work their job, right? This is not what we want in an already stressful job. So fundamentally, we were already dealing with the fact that the federal government, who had fired federal workers when Elon Musk was running Doge, trying to hire back some of those workers because they fired people who had knowledge that we need to run government. Now, I'll work with anyone to eliminate waste, fraud, and abuse. Absolutely. But that's not what happens. You have to be strategic about these things. And right now, we just need to support our federal workers. I'm here ready to work. The Senate is in session, but all of our committee hearings have been canceled. There's no reason why my Republican colleagues who are getting a paycheck aren't here to work, but Mike Johnson won't call us into session. I will note that if he called us into session, Arizona Representative Alida Grijalva, who was just elected, would be sworn in. Now, she replaced her father, who unfortunately died in office. But if that happened, she would be the 218th signature on the discharge petition, meaning something that Mike Johnson won't bring to the floor. So 218 congresspeople, Democrats or Republicans, sign a petition to bring this to the floor. And that would make it so the Epstein files would be made public. Fundamentally, that should not be a partisan issue. We shouldn't protect pedophiles, and we should be showing up to do the work of the people. And that means negotiating about things that matter, like the cost of health care.
Now, when the federal government shut down, that happened to be during my trip in Italy, and that got my attention immediately. The first few days, things seemed fairly smooth, but as we go along, we're really, it appears, seeing more bumps in the road and a big impact on travel.
Absolutely. Again, you've got your TSA agents, you've got your air traffic controllers that are going to work and not getting a paycheck. Now, they will be getting all of their back pay as soon as you know, the shutdown ends. President Trump signed a bill into law saying that federal workers who don't get paid in a shutdown will receive all of their pay retroactively, which is very, very important. But if you're living paycheck to paycheck, like a lot of lower paid federal workers are, it's really hard to figure out how you're going to pay your rent, how you're going to pay your mortgage, how you're going to pay for groceries. So I'm hoping that we can get this resolved soon.
What do you think it will take to get it reopened?
You know, what we're starting to see is Republicans coming out saying, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, she acknowledges that we should be negotiating over these health care premiums. I had a private business owner. He employs 25 people, and he's in a pool with some other small businesses. His health care rates, premiums, were increased 70%, right? And he provides health care for his employees. We had someone on my telephone town hall last week. They were, paying $87 a month with the Oregon Health Plan for a very high deductible plan. They just got told they're going to have to pay over $1,000 a month. We had another person who called yesterday saying they're paying just over $1,300 a month, and they're going to have to pay $3,250 starting January, $3,250. And this is what we're fighting about. And these are high deductible plans that people get on the exchange. So what it's going to take is for Republicans to come back, sit down, and actually negotiate. How do we move forward and not make it so that, you know, Americans, and that's in rural and conservative areas, Republican and Democratic areas, so that they're not having to have crushing increases in their health care premiums?
Do you feel like the shutdown could end by this weekend?
No.
What?
My Republican colleagues aren't here, and they are taking their paychecks. Now, I went to, our payroll, and I requested in writing that I not get my paycheck until the federal workers in my district are getting their paycheck. But my Republican colleagues, they're collecting their paycheck and they're not showing up at work. I'm around. Mike Johnson's here. Sometimes there's a couple of them, but they're not here at work. The Capitol Police are here. They're showing up every day. They're not getting paid. The people that work in the Capitol cleaning, they're showing up. They're not getting paid. But I don't know how we open by this weekend when they're not showing up. Kyle, I'll tell you what. The people in my district, right, the majority of people in the 4th District from Curry County all the way up to Lincoln County, they make their money by the hour. Not from stock dividends. I mean, this isn't a wealthy community. And people don't get paid if they just don't show up to work. You don't. And that's what's happening here. So I am hopeful that as I'm talking to my Republican colleagues and they're having the same issues that my constituents are having, that we can figure out how to have leadership get to the table and negotiate a way to pass protections for these, you know, massively increasing health care premiums, make sure that we have some of these subsidies in place so that we can move forward and actually pass our budgets in a bipartisan way. Look, Republicans are in charge of the House, of the Senate, of the presidency, and there's a conservative majority on the Supreme Court. They hold all the levers of power. The requests that we are making are very straightforward, small, and simple, right? Keep healthcare costs down for the American people. I don't understand why they're not here ready to do the work.
As this has evolved, of course, a lot of back and forth between both sides of the aisle. There was some talk, I think I heard a couple of days ago, maybe yesterday, about if the shutdown didn't end this week, about eliminating some what were called Democratic programs long term. What's your reaction to that?
Look, The president should be representing the entire country. And the fact that we have a president that has said, I specifically want to reward the people, those states that voted for me and not the ones who didn't, that's what a tyrant does. When the founders of our country put the Constitution in place, the executive branch, you know, again, has certain responsibilities, and the legislative branch has certain responsibilities. The legislative branch, Congress, has the power of the purse. So we should be making those decisions. Why my Republican colleagues want to hand over that constitutionally directed power to the president, and why the president would only be president of people who agreed with him, that's un-American. I'm not saying that, you know, Republicans shouldn't use the levers of power they've gotten. Elections have consequences. Elections have benefits for the party in power. But this seems incredibly vindictive and unprecedented.
What kind of level of frustration are you seeing around D.C. right now?
High. The level is of frustration is incredibly high. People just want us to get back to work. I want to get back to work. You know, my constituents that show up, they want us to get back to work. So the frustration is high. The fear is high. When we have Russell Vogt, who heads up the Office of Budget and Management, being gleeful about the fact that he is not paying federal workers. He said he wants them to be afraid to come to work. He wants their morale crushed. I'm disappointed in the president, and Russell Vogt in particular is taking, Steve Miller, they are taking great pleasure in the pain of the American people. That's wrong. So, there's frustration, there's fear, and then we're just hoping that cooler heads will prevail and that Republicans, specifically in the House, will come back to the table so that we can have committees, so we can start doing the work that we're being paid to do.
With the House not meeting, but the Senate meeting, is anything really getting done that's not related to aspects of the shutdown?
You know, I mean, the Senate, they're in charge of doing appointments, so those things are happening. They're doing committee work. Again, there is zero reason why the House should not be in session. Mike Johnson directed our committees. I'm on Transportation Infrastructure, which is a committee that works in a very bipartisan way. He told them we should have no committee hearings while the government shut down. Our Natural Resources Committee, we're working on some really, really important legislation. We're not having any of those meetings. There's no reason for it. And again, I can't speak to anyone's motive, but the fact of the matter is, if the House was meeting like the Senate, then Adelita Grijalva, the Arizona newly elected representative, would be sworn in, and she would be the 218th signature on the discharge petition for the Epstein files. Is that the reason that we're not being called into session? I don't know. But the Senate's here to do their work. I mean, they're still working to pass a continuing resolution. They haven't been able to do that. But why isn't the House doing the same thing? And Mike Johnson, that's up to him. Again, Republicans hold every lever of power. It is up to them to come back and negotiate and get to work.
Now, of course, we have had shutdowns periodically over the years. I'm trying to remember really quick on the fly here. Have you experienced one of these since you've been in Congress?
No, I haven't. But I talk frequently to Peter DeFazio, and he remembers a number of them. He was the one that told me about the air traffic controller who was driving Uber for 8 to 10 hours a day, then going to work. We had to set up food banks for some of our TSA agents. These are people that are hardworking people. They show up. They do their work. They deserve to get paid. It is not their fault that my Republican colleagues don't want to show up to work. It is very concerning. You think about the people that show up at our VA every single day. And, you know, the nurses, the caregivers, the people who are working to make sure that our veterans get taken care of, the people who work to make sure that Medicare is getting paid for. They're not getting paid a salary while they have to show up to work for those jobs that are critical. And that's just wrong.
Is it really a Democrat versus Republican issue?
You know, sort of, in that Republicans are in charge of the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and they seem hell-bent on locking down and not including Democrats at the table for any negotiation. The Republican budget bill that was passed about 2.5 months ago, they wouldn't take any Democratic amendments, which is not how things normally happen. Certainly, they're in power. They should have their priorities. But this was kitchen sink. Nothing like it. You know, Peter DeFazio couldn't remember anything like it ever happening. So they pushed that through and made some pretty egregious changes that affect our rural counties. For instance, rural counties will not be getting timber receipts from timber that's harvested on federal lands. That's going to hurt our counties a lot. The other thing is that without action and without us showing up back to work, Medicare reimbursement for our health care providers and our hospitals will decrease by 4% starting January 1st. That's something that I know Republicans I've talked to have wanted to fix, have said that they're going to fix. They've said that they're going to work with us to fix the timber receipt issue. But you can't fix it if you're not here. So I don't know. I'm hoping cooler heads prevail. I don't think this is necessarily a Democrat-Republican issue, although, again, that's who's doing the negotiating. Leadership of the Democrats are here, and Mike Johnson has said he has no intention to negotiate. But I will say that people can go to the OHP, Oregon Health Plan website, to look at what their premiums are today. You can see what your premiums are for those people who have private health insurance. You should have gotten your health care premiums in the mail. If anyone has, a massive increase, please contact our office, because these are the things that we need to talk about. This shouldn't be a partisan issue, as I know this is happening in Republican and Democratic districts. So as we bring these stories forward, and as I'm having my Republican colleagues reach out to me to say, okay, how do we move this forward and have these subsidies in place? Again, Marjorie Taylor Greene has been absolutely upfront in saying this is something that Republicans shouldn't be shutting the government down over. And I'm just hoping cooler heads will prevail and that Republicans will show up to work.
Just over a couple minutes left. Let me hit a couple of other things real quickly. Your reaction to the Israel-Hamas ceasefire from a few days ago.
Look, I welcome the news of a ceasefire, and I want to thank the White House and everyone involved in the process. You know, credit where credit's due. Now, the priority has to be securing the release of all the remains of hostages and ensuring the safety, dignity, and self-determination of Palestinians and Israelis alike. The devastation that has happened in Gaza is extreme, and the Palestinian people need to have a place to go home to. And what I am hoping is that Hamas and Israel will adhere to what the ceasefire resolution says that they need to do. I don't believe the Palestinian people can withstand another minute of what's been happening there. Over 60,000 Palestinians have been killed in this war. And again, they're coming back to a place where everything's been flattened. And the families of the hostages in Israel deserve to have, you know, certainly their family members back. So that's good. But the remains of their family members returned. And, you know, it's giving us some hope that we can have peace. And I just hope that we can now invest in making sure Palestinians can you know, live both in safety and in have prosperity. That's what I want for Israel. That's what I want for Palestine.
As you look around over the last few weeks, have you ever sat down and thought, what on earth did I get myself into?
Yes. I talked to my dad quite a lot, and I said to him, you know, this is really a crazy time to be in Congress. And I feel like I would rather be here at a time when I could get more done. Peter DeFazio, when I talked to him, says he has never experienced anything like what's happening now. And the hyperpolarization and the partisanship and the violent threats, both for Republicans and Democrats, it is getting more and more dangerous as we receive death threats just for showing up to do our job. I mean, when we look at the Oregon Way, we look at Mark Hatfield, right? We look at how we used to be able to work together across party lines. I hope we can do that again, and that's why I'm here, to fight for the Oregon Way and bringing it to Washington, D.C.
4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle, thanks for being on today.
Hey, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.